This is Ryan Archidak, and I'll shout out to the Bulls HQ podcast, all the way from Australia. We represent, and thanks for all the support.
Hello Bulls fans, welcome to Bulls HQ, a Chicago Bulls podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the show. It's been a month off for me. It's been a bit of time off for me, actually, now that I think about it. Not too surprising, given that there hasn't necessarily been much to talk about before our Chicago Bulls. The Bulls obviously aren't in the playoffs, and the NBA playoffs are going on, but for me as well, I've been away for the last few weeks just caring for my newborn child. So that's been an interesting experience. And I'll tell you what's going to be another interesting experience is going through this podcast with my good friend C Red Fred, who is joining me today. Fred, I am too tired to give you a proper intro, but how are you, sir? How are you?
Oh, I'm living the dream, brother. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations, first of all, to you and your beautiful wife, and most importantly to C Red Ted. I hope you play the Big Red Bus podcast right next to his crib at night to help him go to bed with a smile on his face.
Yeah, that'll definitely do that for sure. But I will say, I did appreciate the shout out that you gave him on the latest Big Red Bus. I was listening to that last night. So it's funny, when you have a child, you find all these windows of time to fit in things that you were previously doing whenever you wanted. Like last night, I was walking the dogs. Is it the last night or the night before? I was walking the dogs at like 9 o'clock at 9 p.m. I think it was, and it's winter here right now. I'm freezing my balls off, but you got to find a time to do these things. And I was listening to the Big Red Bus at that time, and obviously I heard that nice little welcome to the world that you gave him. So I appreciate that.
I can't wait for the next, you know, hopefully 20, 30, 40 years. How many more years I have left on this orb to guide him in the ways of basketball knowledge and the beloved Bull. So I'm really looking forward to sharing my knowledge with him and helping him become what I have become, which is an enlightened individual. So I feel like that's part of my duty. And you haven't asked me to be the godfather yet. I'm waiting on that call. But I'm open to it. If you're,
thank you. I'll put your name on the list. I'm not sure if he will be baptized, but should that be the case, I'll add you to the list and very much not consider you, but I'll add you to the list.
Well, tell me if you don't baptize him, so at least I can. And let's ask for a bigger. Let's put the basketball aside for a second. I've been waiting to talk to you about this. This is a big, you know, as we're approaching Father's Day, I think this is a good listen for all those fathers that are listening to this show and prospective fathers. If an alien came down today, Mark, and asked you who you are, what makes you you, what would you say?
What comes to your mind? I have no idea.
Are you kidding me?
What makes me me?
This is a great exercise for all you who are listening. Pretend an alien came down.
Sounds like a question you would get at like some sort of HR function at work or something. Like, how do you identify or something like that? Or like, who are you? Like, and it's one of those questions that you're not prepared for because it's like 9 a.m. in the morning. You're just in some sort of class or some learning or thing, you know, some sort of teaching that you don't want to be part of, and you just got to answer these dumb questions.
It's not a dumb question. Just pretend like there's an alien and he asks you, who are you? What do you say? How would you define yourself?
I don't know.
Are you kidding me? This is an easy answer.
It's difficult.
It shouldn't be. You're a dad. That's number one or two. If you have a child, that should be number one or two. If you're a religious man or woman, you know, obviously that should be your number one. If you're not and you happen to be an atheist or whatever, then you have a child, that should be your number one. Come on, man.
I would say hello, alien. I am a lifelong Suns fan, and my Phoenix Suns are doing incredibly well in the NBA playoffs right now, buoyed by the fact that my favorite player, Chris Paul, has just found a new level and have 25-10 against the Nuggets. What a guy. Who are you, alien? That's how I would start that conversation.
I gotta admit, I laugh every time I see your Twitter handle where it says lifelong Suns fan. What a pathetic occupation that is.
It's not an occupation. It's not an occupation. Come on. It's a labor of love.
A labor of love indeed. You know what? I'm looking so forward. You know what's the funniest part about this whole playoff run for him is, you know, just the everybody's acting like he's already climbed the mountain. He hasn't even played a game in the finals, Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals yet, and you know where this is headed. We all do. Come on. This isn't going to end well for him. So, hey, but I got to hand it to him. I didn't expect him to get this far. He's played very well, especially in that last deciding game. He didn't play well in the series against the Lakers, but he played well in this series. And congratulations, Chris. I've seen this movie before. I know where it ends. And can you, at least you're on my side with these State Farm commercials. How awful can these be? Have you seen them?
No, well, that's the thing. I get NBA games through League Pass, but we don't get American commercials. Oh, so I have no idea what any of these commercials are. Anything that you're referencing, I have no idea what the hell they're talking about. All I know is that every fifth tweet that you have is about an insurance commercial or an insurance company commercial, I should say. So whether it's State Farm or that progressive lady that you're always banging on about, there's always someone that's
well, why is she wearing an apron?
Is there another company too?
The progressive lady is wearing an apron. I still haven't figured, why do you need an apron to sell insurance? Somebody answer that question for me. It's the dumbest thing. She's been selling insurance for 20 years with this stupid apron on. I still have no idea why she's wearing it. And if you saw these Chris Paul commercials, you would be as outraged as I am. I mean, I cannot believe the money they're spending on these. And these are I'll send you a couple of links to some of these commercials. They are so dumb. I'd rather listen to Boylan, you know, an audio book of Boylan reading the Bible. Than to watch or whatever book than to watch any more of these State Farm commercials. Now, the Bible's a very good book. I don't want to criticize that, but Boylan's not. So let's move on. What do we have to talk about? How we get off on the Suns and Bulls again? There's news out there.
You
let's
asked me about an alien or some crap. I don't know. But to be honest with you, it's been a month since I've podcasted, so I kind of forgotten how to do this. Not that I was any good at it beforehand, but I guess we should start with the Bulls. Not that there's a ton to talk about with the Bulls.
Well, can we hold on 1 second? I want to go back to the alien just for one more second. Really quick. Okay. Really quick.
Fair enough.
All right. For everybody who's listening, this is a perfect way to get your priorities in order. If an alien or anyone asks who you are and your answer is not, you know, a father, a husband, a son, a brother, a friend, one of those, you know, if you're saying something like, I'm a Mountain Dew drinker, or something ahead of this, your priorities are majorly out of whack. So this is an exercise I like to use with my friends where I say, let's get your priorities in order. Who are you? Define yourself to me. And in the top five should be something like that. I do have Bulls in the top 10. Bulls fan. It's probably number seven, but it's still important and a big part of my life. Anyhow, all right, let's move on.
Well, yeah. Thank you for interjecting and cutting me off where I was trying to get us back onto the road of this podcast for that little soliloquy there, which we didn't really need. But fair enough. I'll take your words of wisdom on board there, Dr. Frederick, and I'll try to apply that into my life moving forward. But for the interim, let's say, let's talk about the Bulls because, well, there's not a lot to talk about necessarily, but I guess the one thing that is noteworthy, and it's a few days ago now, but obviously I haven't podcasted since then, but I wanted to talk to you about the Coby White injury because that is notable, that is significant, and it potentially shapes, maybe not the entire season, but it potentially shapes how the Bulls sort of start their next season, but maybe more present. It may even shape how they sort of attack free agency, what they do with the draft, assuming they even get their draft pick. The lottery is next week, so that's going to be very interesting. But an untimely injury, not a serious career type injury, but the fact that Kobe's going to be out potentially 4 to 6 months with a torn labrum, I believe it is, in his shoulder. Like, is that a concern for you, Fred? Because it certainly is for me.
Obviously it's a concern. He's a key player, key rotation player. I had a horrible flashback to the Jamal Crawford offseason ACL tear, the Jay Williams offseason leg almost amputated incident on a motorbike. I mean, talk about bad luck for a team. Is there another team in the league that has lost three guards in the offseason, you know, like the Chicago Bulls have in the past 2 decades? I don't know. Maybe there are, but it just sure seems like we got a run of bad luck. But, you know, big picture, I do think people are kind of overreacting somewhat. I mean, it's not a leg injury, right? It's his that's a positive. It's his off. It's not his shooting shoulder, which is another positive. In the long, obviously, this is a serious injury. I'd like to know how the heck this happened. Like, how do you tear your labrum on your off? I have no idea how this could have happened, but I'd like to get the story on it. But regardless, I think I saw a very good piece from Casey Johnson talking about Paul George, and he had the exact same injury, and he actually had the surgery almost on the same day, and he came back around November. So that should give you kind of like a ballpark timeline on when he'll return. If he comes back in November, I think we're really kind of just freaking out a little bit too much. Like, I still don't think a point guard now is the primary need of this team. I think there's a bigger need. Let's see if you can figure out what my... Because I'm watching the playoffs. What do you think Fred Pfeiffer would define C-Red Fred as a bigger need than point guard?
Well, I already know the answer because you've already told me that before, and you told us all in the Big Red Pass podcast as well. So okay, I'm assuming it's a defensive 3-and-D type wing.
Yeah, elite perimeter defender. You look at all the teams that are left. You got Philly, you got Simmons and Tybull, you got Hawks with, you know, DeAndre Hunter's obviously hurt, and that's hurting that team, but they have some nice pieces on the perimeter, probably less so, which explains why I think they're the worst team left in the playoffs. You got the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George, the Suns with, you know, Bridges, who's absolutely fantastic. Utah has Bogdanovich, who I... think is underrated. Conley's fantastic, still hurt, but you know, to me, it's like that's a major flaw with this team. And we got a guy in Williams who's playing the three, who's assigned to all this talent at that position, all the wings in the league, and he's really a four, not well suited for it. And the other guy we have is old man Temple. I mean, to me, like, this is like our biggest need by far, and I'd rather have that. If you have to make a choice between a traditional point guard or a elite on-ball perimeter defender, ideally at the three position, who can also shoot the three, I'd rather have the latter. I don't understand why this is so hard. To me, we had 14 games with Vucevic and Zach LaVine. Out of that set, the offensive pick and roll between Vuce and Zach LaVine is going to be the base offense. I think everything should emanate from that specific play. All good will come from that play, and I think it lessens the need for a traditional point guard. What say you?
Yeah, I don't think they need a traditional point guard, but they certainly need guard play, and the fact that beyond Zach and maybe even there, just maybe it stops there. Like, the Bulls don't necessarily have a guy who can sort of get to the rim consistently. I don't know if Kobe can do that. Maybe that was where he was sort of trending for in his third season, but the fact that now he's essentially missing all the offseason, he won't have time to really work on his game. He'll be coming back maybe when the season is starting. And I'm assuming it'll take him at least a month, maybe longer, to get his legs back, to get his feel back, all that sort of stuff. So he's going to have an interrupted time here, to the point where, I don't know, this could really derail his third season, which is not ideal. But, you know, for Kobe himself, like, long term, he'll be fine. But specifically for this Bulls team, thinking about how much this upcoming season is potentially make or break in a lot of ways. So we've talked about the fact that Zach LaVine, while potentially may be an unrestricted free agent after this season, let's see how this offseason plays out. Maybe he signs an extension this offseason. I'd be very surprised if that happens, but maybe that happens. But in the event that it doesn't, then he's an unrestricted free agent. In that scenario, like you and I have talked about, like, you want to be selling Zach on the best possible product in Chicago. And if Kobe isn't his best self for a long time, the team, you know, is taking L's because of that, and you don't necessarily address the point guard position. Like, I don't think anyone necessarily disagrees with you in the sense that it would be great to have a 3-and-D wing on the roster, but where is that guy coming from? Because there's not a lot of those guys out there in free agency, whereas for point guard, at least, there are some realistic names out there, some more so than others. So I think that's where it sort of comes from, the fact that, one, the Bulls have for a while now have said that they are prioritizing point guard. The fact that Kobe goes out now, I would assume that continues. But just looking at the landscape of free agency, there isn't many wing options available, unfortunately.
Well, that's where I disagree with you. I don't think there are realistic options at point guard. Like, what are they? Lonzo Ball, you're going to pay him $24 million a year? That's what he's going to cost. I don't think that's a good move.
Let's see what he's going to cost first.
He's going to cost... Let's just, we have an educated guess. He's going to cost between 22 and $25 million a year. And I think it's insane to pay that much for 4 years for a guy. Now you're locking yourself into those three players. And you're going to have, next year, you're going to have to pay a Levine, a max deal. Max, Vucevic, and Lonzo Ball, it's not going to move the needle. It's not going to win anything. You know, so I think we're kind of SOL on this one. Like, I would rather just hand starting position to Sato, something you've been touting for. Pull out your t-shirt and start Sato t-shirt. Let's get Kobe back as soon as possible. We'll see when he comes back. He was remarkably durable. Hopefully he'll heal quickly and, you know, be back in November, you know, and we'll look at another option. I am for the, you know, if Jalen Brunson or, you know, one of these guys that's a little bit cheaper, but I'm really off the ball train if he's going to cost $24 million. I don't understand how people are for this. There's so many people that just think, there's a tremendous amount of Bulls fans that are for signing Lonzo Ball for, you know, 23, 20, they'd be fine with it. And I think, go ahead.
I think there's a lot of Bulls fans that are very into Lonzo Ball, as I am. I think he would be a great addition, but there is a cost to it. And I don't know, like, I don't know if that's a true statement to say that the Bulls, there's a lot of Bulls fans out there that would pay Lonzo 23, 24, 25 million. Maybe it's true. I don't know. To me, I don't think it is, but I certainly wouldn't want to pay him that much money. Like, that would be ridiculous, but I'm assuming other people feel similarly, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think people would be happy with that. To me, there's a lot of other guys out there that I'd go after. First of all, Mike Conley would be my number one option. Try to figure out a way to go after him. I guess it's kind of dependent on what happens in Utah. If they end up getting in, you know, going to the Western Conference Finals, I don't think it's likely, you know, he'll go anywhere, but who knows what's going to happen if they don't get there. He's been injured. That'd be a great guy to go after. Lowry's going to cost too much. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie's the guy they threw out there, but I don't think he plays defense well enough. Whoever you put at that point guard position better be able to guard. You know, one and twos. It's essential. So, you know, Ricky Rubio is a guy I think that absolutely we should be all cheering for. If the Bulls don't get a top four pick, we should all be cheering for the Timberwolves to keep that pick. I have an inside source in Minnesota who says that absolutely Rubio is going to be available if they keep that pick because they're going to be in the tax at that point. And I think he'd be a perfect stopgap for 1 year. Don't you concur? That'd be a great choice.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Rubio. Like, that's not a bad option. I really like the Jalen Brunson suggestion as well. Like, that would be very interesting to me because, you know, he can come off the bench and do his thing as a sixth man, but he's played next to Luka and has been very, you know, successful in that role. And I just like his game more generally. So, yeah, I like the Jalen Brunson suggestion. Yeah, I'm more of the mind that if you can't get Lonzo at a reasonable price, and I'm assuming guys like, you know, Mike Conley, Kyle Lowry, Chris Paul, they may be free agents, but they're not going to consider the Bulls, then I'm more inclined to go with the stopgap solution, whether that's the guys that we've noted, whether it's someone like TJ McConnell. I don't know what the answer is, but I wouldn't want to be paying overs for whoever the guard may be, even Dennis Schroeder, for example. I know he's a name that's out there. I want nothing
way.
To do with Dennis Schroeder.
Amen.
At the price that he wants. He turned down 4 for 84 or something stupid like that. What a dumbass now in hindsight. So yeah. I want nothing to do with Schroeder. I hope the Bulls don't go that direction. Obviously, he has a connection with Billy Donovan from their time in OKC. But yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting situation. But it's just something the Bulls didn't need to happen with this Kobe injury because Kobe was playing really well towards the end of the season. He was improving. Big year coming up for him, the fact that he was entering year three, and he and Vucevic sort of found their groove together, and the fact that he's going to miss this entire offseason, won't have that developmental time, it's just a bummer, I guess.
It is.
And it just, we need everything to go right now because the Bulls just don't have an abundance of resources right now. I mean, I touched on it before, that the fact that the lottery is next week, we don't even know if the Bulls are going to have their pick next week. Maybe if they do keep it, maybe this can sort of help hedge this Kobe injury. But if they don't keep that pick, if they don't have a lot of cap space, they don't really have a lot of resources to necessarily improve the roster dramatically, which, you know, that would be concerning for me, I guess. So it's just something that we didn't need to happen. Like, Kobe's going to be probably a top four or top five player in the rotation next season, or at least was scheduled to be somewhere in that vicinity, depending on what happened to the roster itself. But to now lose him for 4 to 6 months, he loses all that development time, like I sort of talked about. Like, it's just something that we didn't need to happen.
Well, you mentioned McConnell, which is a name that Casey Johnson threw out there, and I'm a closet fan of his. I think that'd be an excellent acquisition, and spreading, you know, I think he's a massive upgrade on, you know, Archie. He's a rich man's version of Archie, right? I think he's much better and a lot more, just incredible defender. I think he'd be just a great addition, but how much is it going to cost? Like, could you get him for the mid-level exception? Less than that?
Yeah, I think you can get him for like a deal that pays him between $6 to $8 million a year.
So I'd be all over that. I think that's a much better idea than signing Lonzo for 22 or 23. And I bet you if you polled the fan base, I think 75% of the fan base would prefer Lonzo at 22 than TJ McConnell at 7, which I think is insane. Like, just don't. There's too many other needs for this team. You know, I guess let's start it with this. If we get top 4 in the draft, then all this conversation is moot because, yeah, you know, the party's on, man. What do you mean, maybe? What are you saying?
Are you suggesting, you know, picking a point guard in the top 4? Is that what you're saying?
No, it doesn't matter who you pick in the top 4 because you're going to get a difference maker. And, you know, probably you won't. Green is not really a point guard. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's a lot of good teams. Like, look at the Clippers that really don't have, I guess Rondo's a traditional point guard, but he's not even playing. Like, most of these teams don't have traditional point guards outside of the Suns. So I don't think you need it if you have enough talent. You know, I don't think that's a dying breed. Let's put it that way. Of Chris Paul, who is, you know, he's a traditional great point guard, but you don't need it if you have enough talent.
You don't need a traditional point guard. Let's say let's move away from that notion, because like Lonzo isn't necessarily a traditional point guard either.
Exactly.
Maybe Rubio is more to that slant. Let's say, but like Schroeder isn't. There's other names that we've sort of talked about that may or may not be traditional point guards. Like, I don't even know what that means anymore. I'm just more thinking about a guy that I could reasonably put on the basketball court who can play both ends and can bring me a positive value, an added value, which is something that the Bulls haven't necessarily had a point guard for. Jeez, I don't even know when. It's been a damn long time. So, yeah, I just want to watch a season of Bulls basketball where we have some competent guard play. And I think, like you mentioned it before, like the fact that you've been watching these playoffs and the fact that you've been sort of yearning over all these wings that are out there. But the other thing that I've been noticing is just how far the Bulls are behind in terms of just general playmaking and perimeter creation. I mean, we've got Zach that can obviously do that at the level of a guy like Devin Booker or you know, a Donovan Mitchell or a Trae Young who's doing things in the series against the Sixers. But beyond Zach, like there's no way you can really kick the ball to on the perimeter and go out there and make a play. I know Kobe's a great catch and shoot shooter, but like
I totally disagree with that assertion. So Bill Simmons had a great. I know you don't like him, but he had a fantastic. I enjoy listening to his podcast. He had a great. Him and Ryan Russillo went through their top 40 list, and really interesting that he had two bulls in the top 40. Zach and Vooch, which I think most people would agree that they're 25 to 40. Well, it was what was interesting about it is how many teams had zero in the top 40. Take a guess how many teams they had zero in the top 40 on their mutual lists. What would you guess? Think
10,
about it.
10
eight,
or 12.
Eight. Yeah, so you were a little on the high end, which sit back and think about that. There's eight teams in the NBA without even one guy in the top 40. We have two. I think we were one of, like, I can't recall what the number was, but big picture, we should have been in the playoffs, right? You got two guys, and Zach, to me, the biggest delta question here is not Williams and everything else about Vooch and how this team's going to develop. My biggest question is, can Zach LaVine take another jump, which he's taken in 3 years? I think we all agree. Every year, he's hit a new level. And I'm wondering, can he become a top 10 player? Can he become a top 5 scorer? I don't think it's out of the realm of impossibility that Zach can take another jump this offseason. And if he does that, becomes a really, truly top 10, top 15 player, then we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Vooch is going to be, you know, like he's – if you know, Vooch is going to be Vooch. I think he's going to be – I was really impressed with him overall. the thing that hurt us, we had 14 games with those two together, right? I'm pretty excited about the future. I think the fan base in general, Chicago especially, and the listeners of Sports Radar have been far too hard on the Bulls. And yeah, it was, sure, it was disappointing at the end, but when you step back and look at the situation, you know, you'd have to be a moron not to realize what happened. We missed our best player for 2 weeks, right? I mean, come on, Mark, you know it's true too,
yeah,
right?
But you haven't challenged the notion that I just said that. Like, I understand that LaVine and Vooch are probably two players in the top 40. Like, that's fine. But what I'm talking about is you need another perimeter guy out there to support Zach. That was my point. Don't you think that the Bulls need another guy like that? Not necessarily a top 40 guy, but like a top 50, 60, 70 guy who can be out there as a secondary creator on the perimeter. I know they want to run some stuff through Vucevic through the high post, but you still need another option on the perimeter, surely. Don't you agree?
I it would be nice, but I took some solace in the fact that I thought Coby White really took great strides at the end of last season to become that player on the perimeter who's potentially, you know, could hurt you. I agree, right? Yes. Ideally, we'd like to get another player out there. Can Patrick Williams become that guy too? It's not like, I don't think you look at the Bulls and say, oh my God, we have no other answers here. Yeah, we do. Coby White and Patrick Williams are two potential answers to that question. Yeah, ideally, we can like to bring in another guy. It's going to be hard to do that with a mid-level exception who can be that creator, but I don't think it's impossible. And after listening to that pod with Bill Simmons, guess what? Most of the teams in the league don't even have two guys. We have two. You know, I think that's a massive thing that we're kind of underselling because we didn't really get to enjoy the fruits of it, right? We only had it for 14 games. So, yeah, there's a lot of negativity, and rightly so, for not making the playoffs. But I think if you really step back and analyze the situation, there should be far more positivity, and the place will go nuts if we get a top four pick. I mean, that's the thing I'm most excited about. If we're going to be bringing in, you know, Cunningham or Suggs is a true point guard. I love that kid. Green, fantastic shooting guard, or Mobley. I mean, we're gonna be cooking with gas.
Is it hyperbolic to say that this time next week, when we're at the lottery, that could really define the next 5 to 10 years of Bulls basketball? Is that too hyperbolic?
I would say it's a little bit too hyperbolic. So, I mean, let's be honest.
I think it is. But go on.
Well, if they don't get it, like, let's live in the realistic possibilities. It's likely they won't get it. It's an 80% chance they're not going to get it. Yeah. Are you telling me you don't feel great about the Bulls' future? Well, I don't know. If you don't feel great about the Bulls, do you feel bad about the Bulls' future?
No, I think there's a middle ground between great and bad. I think I feel okay and fine, and they could put together a decent, good team that could maybe do similar things to what the Hawks are doing right now. Maybe, but yeah, I don't feel great about the future. I'll feel great about it if they luck into a top four pick and, you know, either draft the player like Cunningham, or if for whatever reason that pick isn't inside the top two or three, you get the fourth pick, then maybe you can trade that pick and, you know, some additional assets to bring in another, you know, veteran of sorts, a guy that's ready made, who's closer to a star level player now to support Vooch and LaVine. Like, that's what I'd be trying to do if I get the fourth pick. If I get the first or second pick, then yeah, I'm taking Cade Cunningham or Jalen Suggs. But yeah, I'll feel great this time next week if they get that pick. But if they don't, then I'm like, you know, this could go a myriad of ways. But I'd be concerned that, you know, our avenues to supporting LaVine and building the best possible team around him will take a hit if we don't get that pick next week. So in my mind, I don't think it is hyperbolic to say that next week, depending on what happens at the draft, like, that could really dramatically change how we view them, you know, in hindsight. Let's take a step forward. If that alien comes down that you've referenced before, if that alien comes back down to Earth in 5 to 10 years' time, and we're telling him about, what, you know, the Bulls basketball that we just watched over the last 5 to 10 years, I'm assuming it would be a lot more positive if we had that pick than not.
All right, let's have the alien sit down next to us here for a second, and the audience, and I listen to my case here. And let's assume we don't get this pick. All right, do you really watch the Atlanta Hawks and say, God, there's a massive chasm between the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls? Because I don't.
Yeah.
Why? I watch the New York Knicks, and I say, and all I say is, we're a better team than these guys. I just cannot believe that they made the playoffs ahead of us. And then I watch the Hawks, and, you know, Trae Young's a fine player. I don't think he's miles better than Zach LaVine. I think Vucevic is much better. Obviously, offensive center, he's not in the class. Defensively, is Capella, but you know, they signed Bogdanovich was a great sign. They made these little signings that, you know, obviously made the team better, but I don't think they're that far ahead of the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, you can make the argument that the Bulls top two versus the Hawks top two, whoever the second guy on the Hawks is, whether it's Collins, whether it's Capella, like, you can make the argument pretty easily that LaVine and Vucevic is better than the Hawks' top two guys,
whether
it's Trae Young and Capella or whoever. But where the Hawks go past the Bulls by quite a bit is the depth pieces that they have. Like, they're doing this against the Sixers right now. Now, granted, Embiid isn't 100%, but he had two pretty massive games to start this series. They're riding this series right now, and you know they're doing that without Reddish basically playing all season.
Who the hell knows if
Reddish amounts to
anything? It's terrible.
Yeah, look, I'm not a big fan of Reddish, but he may amount to something. But even if he doesn't, DeAndre Hunter has barely played this season.
Yes,
if he comes
good
in and be the player that you thought he would be, you're a big Hunter fan. Like, they could be really good. Herder's looked really good as well for the Hawks. You mentioned Bogdanovich, who's been fantastic in the playoffs. So, I don't know. I think they've gone past the Bulls well and truly at this point. And, I'd be a little bit concerned about whether the Bulls can go past the Hawks or any other team. Like, to me, watching the Hawks right now, I'm looking at this team being a perennial top four team in the East. That's how I feel about them right now. And you mentioned the Knicks there. Shout out to Tibbs for winning Coach of the Year. Do you have any thoughts on that, Craig?
I really don't. Well, I do, actually. Let me go in somewhat in depth for them. Tibbs is exactly what he is, and he's always been. He's a guy who plays his best players in regular season an immense amount of minutes if they're healthy, and that's a huge advantage over. I mean, every coach should adopt his playing pattern and, you know, play their two best players 2,500 minutes or more. They'd have a better record. But guess what happened? It leads to disappointment in the playoffs. That's exactly what we saw this year. This is an exercise I played with Doug Tonis where we had the entire NBA show up at Lifetime Fitness. We had a pickup game. Did you listen to that episode? Did you
great
like that
segment, by the way?
There you go. Yeah, so here's it. Let's do it, you and me and you. This is how you figure out who's got the better team. We both show up at the Lifetime Fitness. You got the first pick, and it's the entire Hawks and Bulls roster. Who are you taking number one?
We've done this exercise before. We know this is not how basketball works. We haven't done it for the Hawks and Bulls before, but you and I have played this game before. I don't know what teams we're
but it
doing.
It proves my point. Like,
it doesn't.
Yes, it does. Zach LaVine, Vucevic are right there with what the Hawks got. Patrick Williams is up there and Kobe White. I'd say they probably have six in the top 10 and we have four. They're not miles ahead of us. They're not. There's a very small chasm, and you get one player, if we do get lucky and get one out of this, you know, this one out of five chance and get one of these top four, we're going to be awesome. And even if we don't, I think it's entirely possible, like, if we take Doug Tonis' 2022 plan, that one difference maker will want it. If it's Bradley Beal, I don't care who it is, somebody wants to join the Bulls in Chicago is not out of the realm of, in fact, I think it's more likely, this is my argument with David Kaplan, I think it's more likely, I still believe the Bulls are a more attractive destination right now than the Knicks. If you're a great player, where would you rather go? To win.
Whichever team's going to pay me the most money, team's going to give me the best opportunity to win.
Assuming that's equal, why would you think that the New York Knicks are going to give you a better opportunity?
Why would you rather the Bulls are going to give me a better opportunity?
Because they have two All-Stars in Zach LaVine and Vucevic who only played 14 games together. I understand the whole argument. We didn't make the playoffs. Can we all grow up and realize that we had our two best players played 14 games together, that if you're a great player, I'd rather go play with Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic than, you know, RJ Barrett, right? Wouldn't you?
Well, potentially.
Why am I nuts here?
Because the Knicks might add another guy this offseason to RJ Barrett and Julius Randle. Like,
name a guy.
A heap of cap space.
Who they adding? That's the whole point.
I don't know.
There's nobody out there.
I haven't seen it yet, but they might add a good, reasonable player who is at a level of, say, Vucevic, or maybe just a little bit lower than that, let's say. And then the calculus changes. It's not just RJ Barrett and Julius Randle. It's RJ, Julius Randle, and player X, whoever that player may be. Don't you think that's possible?
I don't see a great free agent that the Knicks can add this offseason, no.
Let me ask you this then. What happens if your favorite player in the world, Damian Lillard, demands a trade to the Knicks?
Why would he do that? Why? Well, that's my whole point. No, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't.
We're just talking hypotheticals.
I've got inside sources in Portland, too.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? Sure he's probably going to stay there. But even if he wanted to go somewhere to win, why would he go to New York? There's no other great players there. I mean, come on. This is insanity. Randall? You want to go play with Randall? Are you kidding? This is bizarre world.
I'm just saying, what would your reaction be in the event that Damian Lillard wanted out and he chose the Knicks over the Bulls?
I would get up on a soapbox and I would announce to the world that I'm a moron, that I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yes, I'm a dunce and I've been wrong all these years and I will retire as a prophet. Because yes, I will do that. But that's not going to happen. Good.
Let's put it in writing right now. Should that transpire? Should Damian Lillard decide he wants out of Portland and he wants to go to the Knicks? That soapbox that you referenced, you're coming on this podcast at that point in time and coming on the podcast and telling everyone that you're a dunce, that you're retiring as a prophet, and that you will now become a Knicks fan and follow Damian Lillard instead of the Bulls.
I will never, ever announce a loyalty to the Knicks, but I will get on that soapbox and call myself a dummy. I will be happy to do that, but it won't happen. It's not going to happen. I've already foreseen what's going on here. Nobody's going to play for the Knicks. Nobody's going to play for Tibbs. Everybody acts like the athletic poll just suddenly disappeared because he had a good year and got a bunch of guys that were desperate for money and to get a big contract like Julius Randle to play out of their rear end. Nobody's going to go there. Who's going to play? Who's the free agent that's going to go there? That's going to make a difference. But there aren't any. That's my whole point. I've studied the whole list. There's nobody. I've done intense study of the free agent list. There's nobody out there that's going to make a darn bit of difference for the Knicks.
Okay.
Darn bit of difference. So.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Let's get off the topic. But anyways.
Can I throw out the worst contracts in basketball topic to you? I'd like you to. Can I name the top eight? And you tell me what's the worst. You ready?
Yeah.
And I'd like you to tell me if you would take any of these players on the Bulls.
Can I just say no to them all now?
Sure. Well, I'll name them really quick. Kevin Love, 31.5, 28.9. John Wall, 44.3, 47. Russell Westbrook, 44.2. See, that's the one I would say yes.
I think he'd be for
Kemba Walker, 36, 37.
Definitely not.
Porzingis, 31, 33.
Nope.
Wiggins?
Nope.
All right. Horford, 27, 26.
I think that last year is team option, non-guaranteed, but still, nope.
And D'Angelo Russell at 30 and 31.3.
Hell no.
Let's go back to Wiggins, because this was a topic that we talked about on one of my billion polls. Why were you guys laughing at it, at that whole thing? I don't understand why you wouldn't consider if Golden State said, yes, we'll give you the 14th pick if you take the Wiggins contract. Why is that a moronic idea?
Because why am I consuming my cap space for Andrew Wiggins? Not just this season, but like in 2022 as well. Like I lose effectively two off seasons for the 14th pick.
First of all, Wiggins fits in. Wiggins is not a bad basketball player.
He's not bad, but I'm not. He's not worth all that expense, surely.
No doubt. But you're getting the 14th pick.
You got to think about the opportunity cost here. Like, is the 14th pick and Andrew Wiggins worth the opportunity cost of what you could do in this free agency?
What's the opportunity cost for this year? There's no opportunity. That's my whole point.
Depends on what you do.
We're going to be over the cap. We're going to have a mid-level exception. There is no zero opportunity for the Bulls to do anything that's really going to make a darn bit of difference. So why not take in a number one pick asset and Wiggins, who fits in perfectly with the starting five, and now you have Zach LaVine, who's apparently friendly with Wiggins. Wiggins at the three. And then you put Williams at his natural position at the four, Vooch at the five, and Coby White and Sato at the one. I don't understand why this is like an insane idea. People just are like jumping on me and acting like I'm a moron for it. I think it's brilliant.
Don't you think there's a, you know, if people, if the majority are telling you that, I won't use the word idiot because that's not fair. And, you know, I don't want to say that to your face at least.
Oh, thanks. But you're a real humanitarian.
if everyone else is saying that, and look, I'm not saying that, but if everyone else is saying that, they're all telling you this trade stinks. What the hell are you talking about? And you think you're like this pure genius. You're the only one who's thinking this is a great idea. Does that not necessarily tell you something?
I wouldn't say everybody thinks it's dumb. I've had a few strays that have said, actually, that's a great idea. So it's brought me some solace and confidence. I still think it's a good, I would do that move. I would do that move, and I'd especially do it if they're willing to give you the Minnesota pick, which could be, you know, what, 4, 5, 6, 7.
They're not doing that. Like I told you on Twitter, they're not trading Andrew Wiggins to the Bulls for salary relief. If the Warriors are dealing Wiggins, they're dealing Wiggins with James Wiseman and the picks that they have, whether it's their pick or the Minnesota picks that will be coming to them. They're dealing that guy for someone like Bradley Beal or a star like that to put next to Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, and to have this one last chance at doing something with Steph Curry's prime. That's what they're keeping these assets for, not to necessarily ship him out to Chicago to save millions of dollars for the owner. Like, that's not happening.
That's our throwing Sato in. I still don't think that you're doing a team like the Wizards a big favor by giving them the, let's say, the number fourth or fifth pick in Wiggins, which is an albatross contract, and act like here and give us Beal for that. It's not a good deal for them. They could do better.
But if it's Wiggins, Wiseman, whatever the Minnesota pick is, Wiseman plus that sucks. Golden State. Well, yeah, I think he sucks, but he's still the number two pick in the draft from last year.
So what? So well, is Tyrese Thomas.
Package, I'm saying.
All right, go on.
It's a decent package. Maybe it doesn't get you Bradley Beal, but maybe it gets you another, you know, fringe all-star type. Maybe a CJ McCollum, someone like that, someone of that nature. Maybe not McCollum himself, but a level of that nature. So I don't know. My point is that if they're trading all their assets that they do have, they're doing it to maximize Steph Curry's prime, not to give the Bulls the 14th pick Andrew Wiggins for Satoransky to save their owners a few million bucks there. So that was my main issue with your genius proposal that you put in a poll on Twitter. But
you didn't like my Dame one either.
Which was your Dame one?
The Dame one was Patrick Williams and every available asset. Draft asset.
I think I responded to you that Portland would just laugh at you. Like, why would Portland do that?
I can't be silent. Like I said, this is the whole essence of the Chicago fan base, that half the fan base thought I was dumb for trading Patrick Williams, and the other half thought I was dumb for even offering, you know, that Portland would give us Dame for Patrick Williams. It was like, I was getting it from all angles. He's either a great prospect or he's not, so I don't understand why that's not enough to get a deal done. I think it's a good deal.
He's not a great prospect, and well, not great enough to get you Dame Lillard. Like, he's not that good. Like, I like Patrick Williams. I think he can be a very good, very, very good player. But yeah, people thinking he's the next Kawhi or he's untradeable or whatever it might be. Like, yeah, that's insane. Like, I would definitely, I would trade Patrick Williams this offseason if I could. If it guaranteed me getting a player who's an all-star level type player, or like I said, a fringe all-star level player, who I can add to LaVine and Vucevic and sort of maximize the next 3 to 5 years of this Bulls team. If I could get that for Patrick Williams, and even throwing Kobe White in there and a future additional picks, whatever it may be, for whoever that player is, but like another all-star level player, I'm doing it.
Absolutely.
I'm doing it. I don't care what
and the Pat Williams mafia be damned, because they're coming after you for that suggestion, and I don't understand.
Well, let them come after me. Let them come after me. That's fine.
You know what? You want to talk a little sixth grade basketball here? So there's an analogy with the sixth grade basketball, and I realized it with Patrick Williams. So we had a sixth grader on the travel team last year, and this kid, let's just say his name was Mark. Everybody who's listening to this knows what we're talking about, because he moved out of state, thank God. Nice kid, but his mom was, you know, probably.
Why is his name Mark?
I'm just. Well,
I'm assuming you're setting this up to be a disparaging story towards
this kid.
I just threw it out.
Well, his name began with an M. And so I just thought, Michael. All right, so Michael. We'll call him Michael. Yeah, yeah. His mom thought he was like LeBron, right? And he was the tallest kid on the team. He was very talented. You know, I mean, good kid. I had no problem with him as a kid. But, you know, he liked to play in the perimeter, even though he was the tallest kid on the team. He did a lot of fancy dribbling. Didn't hustle. He liked to fall on the ground and beg for fouls. So we had a coach that videotaped every game. And, you know, that's I know you enjoy my tweets where I break down the Bulls game. That's what I would do for our actual sixth grade games, where I'd send it to coach. We'd break down the video and say, I kind of view watching each play like looking at a crime scene. What was the negative thing that happened and what caused it?
Go on.
Okay. So, why did we give up a layup? Why did we give up that rebound? And I'd say 75 to 80% of our breakdowns defensively were due to this one kid. It was unbelievable. It was just unbelievable. It's something you don't see, like, if you're just watching the game. But then you see, oh, he tried to go for a steal here and he gave up the layup, or he didn't even pick up his guy in a box out. So this kid, anyhow, he didn't start because coach made the right choice. I'm the assistant on the team. And then we had the playoffs, third game in one day. And he said, you know what? I'm going to start you, Michael, the last game. His mom took him home before the game started. Didn't even tell us. He said she was so upset that he didn't play enough in the previous game. And I think that the fan base with Patrick Williams is a lot like that mom. That's
okay. How so? Because I'm not making that connection right now immediately.
They just really overrate and just like are so overprotective and just think
that he
can do nothing wrong. At least Patrick is better than Michael was.
Than Michael.
But every time I'd watch a Bulls game, it was hilarious. Like, I'd be reading Twitter like, oh, look at P. Will hanging with, Kawhi. And then I'd watch the game and I'd just be mortified at, Kawhi getting his basically a season high, one under that. And people just like acting like he did something incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
That Billy Donovan and Patrick Williams are at the Bucks game the other night?
I didn't know that Patrick Williams was there. That's great to hear. Oh, my God. That's so good
to
hear.
Studying, Kevin Durant and Giannis and just becoming a better basketball player just by watching. Don't you feel that, Fred?
Well, I didn't feel that because I brought this up with Big Dave. We had dinner the other night with Doug Tonis, Big Dave, and the Ball guys. And I brought this up. Like, I thought it was such an odd comment that he went up to Thad Young and said, what does it take to be great? And everybody was like, everybody was all excited. What a great question. First of all, as C-Dub said, why are you asking Thad Young?
That's a good point.
What does it take to be pretty good? I guess if you're going to ask what it takes to be great, ask, a really great player that. But it seems like something an agent would say. Like, it's like a ridiculous question. It's like, what does it take to become a millionaire? Well, there's like 50 things you have to do. There's like every day you got to shoot 500 shots. Like, you should know this at 19. I just thought it was kind of a weird, like, aside, and it made me really, it didn't make me feel like most people. I'd say, oh, that's great to hear. And for me, it was like, what? Like, why? I don't know. He says a lot of things I just question.
How much do you wish he was Isaac Okoro? And be honest. Be honest. Like, how much better would you feel about the Bulls?
The only reason I'd feel a lot better is because Coral clearly fit in better with the Bulls because we had, like 14 power forwards. Yeah. So I thought he would have been a better fit. But I'm ecstatic we have Pat Will and we don't have Denny Average. So that was like the balance, right? I'm very happy we got Pat Will. If we would have drafted Denny Average like half the fan base wanted, I would have. Imagine this year, what a disaster we would be
talking about.
This has been fun, Mark. Don't you have to get back to see Red Ted? Or do we got something else to talk about?
Yeah, I was just wanted to get your. You mentioned before that you're a prophet. I don't believe that you are, but you mentioned that before. So let's test that, and let's end on this note with your prophetic skills here.
Sure.
Firstly, obviously the playoffs are going on. We're halfway through the second round right now. Some teams have advanced, like my Phoenix Suns. Some are still playing, but give me your prophetic. Give me your view on how the rest of the playoffs is going to transpire.
Well, I made this announcement on the first C-Red Fred and the Knights of Roundball table that I predicted the Clippers and Sixers would be go to the championship and the Clippers would win it all. And I was immediately hit with a lot of jokes. Oh, I've kept them all. I'm looking forward to retweeting those. I will admit now my faith in the Sixers was shaken. I still can't believe they lost that game yesterday. Unbelievable. And Embiid, who knows how hurt he is, it's admirable how he's playing through it, but that's not good. But I still think that team, I love the way they play defense. I love Thibault. I mean, there's so many guys on a team that I love, but it's just such a kind of a weird team, right? Simmons is so good defensively, and they're just so good on the perimeter defensively, but Simmons is a weird player. It's the best way to describe him, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna stick with them. I'm gonna stick with the 76ers in the East, and I'm gonna stick with the Clippers. I do know the Suns are in for, if they play Utah or they play the Clippers, it's going to be a very dark period. In fact, I think they'll lose in five. So let's record this and keep this, because think about it. Who did they face, really? I mean, they faced a crippled Laker team, a crippled back. I mean, that was a CBA backcourt, right? That they faced with Denver.
No, you can't. You don't get to say this. You don't get to say this because this is what I was telling you when your boy Damian Lillard lost to them in the first round. You were telling me how good Jokic is, how good Michael Porter Jr. is, and how good Monty Morris was, and all this sort of crap. And now you can't use this against as an argument against the Suns. You don't get to do this.
Well, I mean, hey, you got to hand it to them. They still won, right? And they're going to be a good team for years to come, unless he leaves for the Lakers.
Which he won't, because he can't.
We'll see what he does. But I don't think they're better than the Clippers. I still think the Clippers, when they play, the biggest problem with the Clippers to me has been the insane amount of rotations and different. He should just stick with, you know, seven guys or eight guys on that team. And when you get down to it, Kawhi Leonard's still to me the best player in the NBA. And I just am amazed by what that guy can do on both ends of the court. They're going to come out of the West. I still believe it. Do you disagree? And even Chris, how about Paul George? How about somebody giving him half the press that Chris Paul has got? It's been insane. Paul George has been great the last two games.
Oh, he's a worse player than Chris Paul, so that's why he doesn't get that much.
Oh, really?
So, you know, shout out to Chris Paul, made the All-NBA second team. Congratulations to him. Jimmy Butler, All-NBA as well. We'll throw that in there, Frederick.
So, with third team? Did he actually make it?
Third team. He did.
Wow,
he
I'm shocked to hear that. That'll be the last time he'll make that.
Because it was very obvious that he was going to make it.
I thought Tatum should have made it ahead of him. He got my vote, but nobody counted it.
Well, shocking to learn. All right, so you're saying Sixers and Clippers then. The prophet has spoken.
Who are you saying? Who do you have?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I really thought the Nets, but you know, the injuries that they have. Well, I assumed that they were going to go through because I just don't trust the Bucks at all, and the Sixers just don't have enough offense for me. But these injuries to Kyrie and Harden sort of level it up, so I have no idea who's going to come out of the East. In the West, I would say that the Clippers are the most talented team, but my Suns are going through to the NBA Finals. You heard it here first, Frederick. My Suns are doing it. So, but one last question before I let you go. Again, sure. Because you are the prophet, and like we sort of spoke about before, we're 1 week away from the lottery itself. What is going to happen next Tuesday night? Do the Bulls retain their pick, or is it going to Orlando?
I don't want to...
But you're a prophet. You have to say something.
Well, I'm trying to learn this Pink Floyd song first. Let me learn that first, and then I'll make my announcement there. I think the Bulls are going to get in the top four. I feel good about it. If you look at their luck has kind of changed. They went from, I had the 7 pick and 17s, all that stuff. Then the AK4, the 7s. I think they're going to end up with the 4th pick, which is kind of a bummer because I really wanted them to get Suggs. And I think he's going to go 2. But, you know, Green is still going to be great. But now you got a shooting guard, right? You got kind of have like a... Him and Levine basically played the same position. Regardless, you know how insane the city's going to go if the Bulls get a top four pick? It's going to be awesome. And not just for the city, for us, Mark. We actually have something to talk about, right? Draft prep. And in my draft prep last year was just exceptional. I mean, I was on top of everything. I knew Okoro was going to be awesome. I knew Denny Avridge was going to suck. So
didn't you really love Obi Toppin, just from memory?
Well, Obi Toppin's going to be great. That was Tibbs' fault. Tibbs does that to every rookie.
Get out of here.
Did you see how good he looked in the playoffs? I thought there was some moments in the playoffs where there were tears in my eyes how good Obi looked. I'd take Obi Toppin right now. That's what Tibbs does to rookies. He doesn't ever play his rookies. He sets them all backward. He sets them all back. I'm so excited, though, about that. Think about how crazy the city will go. If we got the number one pick, can you imagine that? Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking about for the next week. And I'm hoping it happens. But now that you've...
What are you
going to
do if it happens?
I don't know. Probably just tweet a lot.
Did you hear did you hear me describing what I did on the sun horns? Did you hear about that story?
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
But, what do you mean it was ridiculous? If anyone didn't hear about this, on 6/10, on June 10th, there was a special sunrise that happens every 6 years where the sun actually rises in the shape of horns, but you have to be on a certain part of the planet. So I knew that was prophetic, that was a sign that next year will be the new Suns. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you see what
yeah,
I'm
saying? Yeah, it really stops to make you think, doesn't it?
It does.
It really does.
I wanted to, and the best part about it was I wanted to film, wake up my son. My wife was in Florida with my daughter visiting family, and just, so it was just me and my son. I was going to wake him up at like 6:10 in the morning. We're going to climb to the top of a mountain and get a picture of me screaming bulls with the sun rising in the background with the horns. But he wouldn't wake up. And there's no mountains by us, so we just had, there's a ski hill that would have worked that we could have walked up. But regardless, you couldn't even see it in Chicago anyhow. I tried to look at the sun and kind of damaged my eye, but there was no horns.
Well, yeah, that's a great story, and yeah, I really feel for you. I really feel for you.
I got one more story. Do you want it before we go or no?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Oh yeah, so this is a dad story. So okay. When my first. My daughter was born the day after. She was supposed to be born on Christmas, believe it or not. But my wife was in labor for so long that it went into the next day. I had to stand for like 24 straight hours. My back was killing me. But she was eventually born on the 26th. And so that morning was exciting. But she was a cranky baby, like I'm sure C-Red Ted is. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't sleep very well. So for a while, so I would go into work in the parking garage downtown and sleep in my car during lunch. And unfortunately, you know, it's January and we're, you know, January, February, March when my daughter was growing. So I'd sleep during lunch in my car and I'd have to turn the car on. Well, some moron in March when it was like 10 degrees starts pounding on my window and he's like, I'm like, what the hell is going on? And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm sleeping. I have a newborn at home and you just woke me up. And he's like, well, I thought you were trying to kill yourself. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you got a car running in a garage. I'm like, this is a parking garage, you moron. There's this idiot. Can you
wait,
believe
how has
this
got to do with anything with like fatherly advice or child? That's how you premise the story.
Well, the fatherly advice is, just if fatherly advice is don't sleep in your car, or if you do, put a sign in the window that says you cannot die by running a car in an open public parking garage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and on that note, let's close the podcast. What an eventful return to podcasting this has been for me. Well, you know, this was a great decision by me to decide to come back on the mic today and to decide to invite you back on. Like,
can you believe that idiot?
Yeah,
That guy's listening out there, I cannot believe you were that dumb to think that you could asphyxiate yourself in a public parking garage. Anyhow.
Great story, Fred. Great story. But, you know, great story, great time that I've had with you today. I really did appreciate you coming on. It's hasn't necessarily made me miss podcasting, but it was fun nonetheless. And I hope you are right that the Bulls do get that top four pick next week.
We're not that far away.
I'll tip my hat, shake your hand, and say well done, sir.
Godspeed, my friend. Give all the best to see Red Ted.
I'll tell him Uncle Freddy says hello.
Sounds good, my man. Take it easy.
All right. Thank you, Frederick. Bulls fans, we'll be back next week to wrap up what does transpire at the lottery, whether the Bulls get that pick or not. Hopefully, based on Fred's prediction, that they do. And whenever that happens, this time next week, we'll be back on the mic to wrap up the NBA lottery. But fingers crossed that Bulls get that pick. So we'll be on the lookout for the podcast back next week. I'm hopefully going to be on a bit of a more routine schedule now that things are hopefully settling at my home life, but you never know with newborns. But in the interim, tune into next week's podcast as we wrap up what happens at the lottery. But thanks for your patience whilst I've been away. Thank you for continuing to support Bulls HQ. Thank you to Frederick for coming on. And like I said, he better be right this time. He's been wrong in the past, but let's hope Frederick's right this time. Speak then, Bulls fans.